Hey everybody, happy new year! Wow, isn't it exciting that we're in the year 2020? What a blessing! It is super amazing. It is such a blessing to be able to just count ourselves among the people that made it to 2020. Life is a gift from God. We cannot get tired of thanking God for life. We cannot get tired of appreciating God for allowing us to speak about the year 2020. Look at it. You're here. You're alive. You're healthy. You have a sound mind. You know, there's everything. You have every reason to be grateful. You've got every reason to be appreciative. You got every reason to just thank God. And again, Happy New Year and welcome to this podcast. This is Marianne, and I'm really glad that we are alive in 2020 and that we keep on journeying towards purpose. You know, we need to all get to the path of our destiny and of our purpose. And that's really the reason why we do this podcast every time, you know, we do this. It's so that we can remind ourselves that we do not live for us, that we are created for a purpose that's higher than us. It's to remind us that we cannot live for ourselves, that we were created and our lives will only have meaning and fulfillment when we begin to look at this life from God's perspective. And you know, God's perspective is that we don't live for ourselves, but rather we live for Him. You know, you will experience more fulfillment when life stops being about you, when you ditch me, myself, and I, and you replace it with we, or what would God have me do? What is assignment? I mean, we're aware that Jesus came. He's died for us. He took our sins on the cross. And by the virtue of Him taking our sins on the cross, by virtue of that cross, we are immediately sons of the new covenant. And I use the word sons because there's no gender in the spirit. There's no female and male in the spirit, you know. And therefore, we've been made sons because of it. By virtue of the new covenant, we are sons. And we are heirs and co-heirs together with Christ Jesus. That means that everything that God has, that has been given to us. Everything that God brought and everything that God planned and everything that God ordained has already been given to us. So the question here is, what are you doing with your life? We can never really get tired of asking. I cannot get tired of asking you this. Because you see, if you're able to answer the question, what am I doing here, then you'll be halfway done with the journey of purpose. And you'll be talking about, you know, I'm living out my destiny. I'm living out my life's purpose. Why? Because the minute you're able to understand and say, this is why God created me. I am working together with Christ Jesus. The ultimate purpose is to bring every single person into the saving knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I mean, that's the overarching purpose. To bring souls, to bring mankind into the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. God's ultimate purpose is that each and every person is in heaven, because hell was not created for people. It was created for the devil and his agents. And so there's a lie that is perpetrated that, you know, God, there are those that were predestined to go to hell and others to heaven. No, God, that, I mean, why would he bring his only son to earth to die for the sins of mankind if some people are meant to die and to perish and to go to hell? The enemy would want to perpetrate that lie, and he would want for us to, you know, he would want for us to keep repeating the lie, keep saying the lie, and keep talk about it to the next generation and to the other generation, so it becomes a generational lie, which is some will make it, some won't. It's a lie. every person was created so that they can ultimately have a relationship with God. And so we have the overarching purpose, but then also there is your individual purpose, which works towards and which guides. It's like your individual purpose is a building block to the overarching purpose. So therefore, when we come to Marianne, you know, Marianne was created by God to empower people. And in my executing my purpose, my divine assignment, what happens is, as I submit myself and as I surrender myself to be used by God in empowerment, then guess what happens? Souls are transformed. Lives are changed. There are those that will come to the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Why? Because Marianne has aligned herself to her purpose. And that's the same thing that happens to you when you align yourself to your purpose and you begin to work out your authentic call and your authentic... you begin to live your life authentically. You will begin to immediately identify and begin to see and know what you're uniquely created to do. And that becomes your building block. And you use that building blocks because it's on it that we build towards the overarching purpose. And in talking about the overarching purpose and even our own individual purposes, you see, I would like to even continue with what I spoke about last time, which is don't disqualify yourself. Because you realize this, that God calls us, but a lot of us are so eager to say, no, Lord, I can't, it's impossible. And we have all a bag full of excuses, you know. I love one of my mentors who was saying that you go to God with PowerPoint presentation. You know, you're trying to prove and to show Him why you're not the person for the job that He's calling you into. And it's unfortunate that a lot of us get into that trap and get into that deception of thinking we are not good enough to be used by God. It really is a deception. It's a deception because there is no other way to define that your Creator, the one that made you, the one that fashioned you, the one that called you, the one that knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb, who knows your capacity, who knows your ability, who knows you more than you know yourself, would call you, anoint you, and then you say, no, I don't think so. I don't think you know what you're saying, God. I don't think you're right. You know, we look at Him and almost say, it's like a slap on His face, so to speak, because He's calling us out and we're busy trying to argue with Him and trying to convince Him to pick someone else because, you know, you're not good enough for the job. And I remember saying earlier, how I shared earlier, that this topic is very close to me because, I mean, I've been through that journey. And when I look back, I realized some of the reasons why I personally thought that I was not good enough for the job that God was bringing to me. And I'd like to talk about one of those. And I know it affects a lot of us. When God is calling us and we don't feel good enough, and we disqualify ourselves and we talk ourselves out of God's will and purpose for our lives. And most of the time it's because we think we lack the experience. The number one thing that causes us to disqualify ourselves is experience. You know, we look and we say, Lord, you know, I mean, how? I don't even have the experience for that. Imagine this. Let me give this example. Imagine a single person, a person who's never been married, being called into the marriage ministry. Hearing a call from God and telling, you know, the Lord speaking to this person and telling this person to build homes, strong homes, to raise strong homes, and to speak to marriages and to married couples. And this person has never been married. A lot of times, that person will definitely want to disqualify themselves because, hey, I'm not married. How would I, as a single person, talk to married people? Because you see, the first question everyone would ask is, oh, okay, so you married? How long have you been married? As though the years of marriage warrants or gives you the, not the right, but gives you the authority to speak on the subject. Because you see, you might be, for example, as we're talking, still talking on this subject of marriage, you might be married for 20 years, but that doesn't mean that you have the wisdom to teach to other people. Much the same way, just because a person is not married does not mean that they cannot speak on the mind and the will of God concerning marriage or concerning children and parenthood. Because you see this, the kingdom of God is guided by rules and principles. And much of what we achieve as believers and most of the victory that we experience as believers is because we apply the principles of the word of God, the principles of the kingdom. And when you apply the principle, then definitely you will experience results. So, think about it. If we are going to teach about marriage God's way, then what we are teaching is not our experiences. No. What we are teaching is the principles. And the principle will work. And the principle can be taught by any person who has an understanding of that principle. The principle on parenthood can be taught by a person that does not have children. You do not need to have children to be able to teach on the principle of the word of God, concerning parenthood. If God has called you to the area of governance, leadership, you do not need to have been a leader in your college days or as you're growing up. You don't need to have been a firstborn, prefect or whatever. You don't need to have gotten a leadership position for you to feel like, oh, now I can walk in governance. I can speak to other leaders because I have been a leader. The deception about experience is that it makes you feel like you've been qualified because, well, for 5 years you worked as this and that other person and you held a leadership position, so therefore now you feel qualified. You feel like you've earned the position that God is calling you into. But we do not earn these positions. We do not earn these assignments. God will call you to pastor, not because you have vast experience in pastoring. It's because He has called you, He has anointed you, and He has put in you what it takes to shepherd the people. God will call you as a kingdom financier, not because you've been swimming in money. Probably you could be struggling, you could be in lack. You could be living from hand to mouth, barely making it. But that doesn't disqualify you from the call of God. Don't think that you need to be a millionaire to be a kingdom financier. Because the more you think that what you're bringing on the table is what qualifies you to the call and the purposes of God in your life, then what you'll be doing in essence is, number one, delaying God's will and purposes. And number two, trying to present yourself as a candidate who can only work by their strength and not by God's grace. Remember, it's never by might. It's never by power. It's by the Spirit of God. Stop looking at the experience which you think you need to have before you can serve God in the capacity He's called you into. If He says that He's called you as a worshiper, don't say, I've never even led worship in any circle, not even in a small fellowship. Don't begin to think the other person is more qualified because they even have, they've probably released a CD or two, or, they're known, they're more popular than I am, so they'll definitely make better worshippers. If you're serious about serving God, if you've given your life out to God, then the last thing that should be going through your mind is the experience you have. You could teach on a subject you have zero experience in. Sure thing, Experience is nice. I mean, people like to relate to human beings. And many times when a person says, oh, you know, I have experience, you know, I went through this or through the, for example, as a parent, I've observed this in my children and I have observed that if you do A, then C and D happens. Yeah, when you're listening to that person, it's easy to relate. Of course, it's easy to relate. And you'd almost, you know, want to listen to them more because, you know, they've actually passed through that. And they've actually walked through that. And maybe what they're speaking is really what we think tried. And you know, we think true. But how many people did God call based on their qualification? I mean, really, tell me, how many people did God call and tell, you know, based on the fact that I've been looking at you, I've been observing you, and I've realized that you are the ideal candidate for the work I want to give. What experience did Mary, the mother of Jesus, have? Okay, wait, hold up. Leave that alone. What experience did Paul the Apostle have to preach the gospel? This man was persecuting Christians. He oversaw the stoning of Stephen, the first martyr recorded in the Bible. He was called Saul of Tarsus. He oversaw it. So great was his zeal to persecute the Christians. He was holding the coats of those who were stoning Stephen. And then we read a few chapters later, this is the man that God calls. And Paul never even had a physical encounter with Christ. He had a spiritual encounter, but he didn't have a physical encounter like the other disciples. But then again, look at what happened to him. That vessel that was so surrendered to God. Look at the mysteries that are locked in the letters that he's written. What we commonly call the Pauline epistles. Those were not based on the experience that he had walking physically with the Master. Those were the experiences he had when he surrendered his life to Christ and chose to obey the call of God upon his life. When he stood and said, you know what, it's never about me. I'm not going to make this about me. I'm going to make this about him. And he that called me is faithful. And the more he surrendered, he had access to greater things. Of course, I'm not done playing the role of Peter and the other amazing apostles of God. Because even Peter was called, he was a fisherman. You see now, if Jesus was calling fishermen, then Peter would have been the ideal candidate because he had many years of experience in fishing. But you see, Jesus was not calling Peter to be a fisherman. He was calling him and he told him, I'm going to make you a fisher of men. Not a fisher. Oh my God. Not a fisherman. You know, fishing fish. But you're going to be a fisher of men. And just like that, he had his glowing corporate career. And God was calling him into ministry. You know, Jesus was leading him and telling him, I'm going to cause you to walk in a path you've never walked in before. And for sure, Peter and the other disciples, they walked in a path that they were not familiar with. Jesus got his disciples from men of different professions. None of these people had the background to qualify to be his disciples. All they needed to do is be obedient to the call. So when you're disqualifying yourself because you think you don't have experience in the field that God is calling you into, ask yourself, which other people have experience in what God has called them? Read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. If you get such a person, please write a comment and let me know. I'd be glad to read about that. And I'll be glad to come back and say, hey, we saw a guy who had experience and God used him based on the experience. I know that when there was a building of the temple and God needed craftsmen, there were men that were picked because of their gift, of their talent, their natural proclivities and talents. Jesus was, God was calling and using that. But then look at the people, even when Solomon was made king, What prayer experience did he have? He said, when he was asked by God in his encounter, and he said, I want wisdom. These are so many people, and they are a great nation. I'm just a young person. I don't know how to do this. I need your wisdom. Because you see, the thing is, when you rely on your experience, you're trying to take the place of God. You're trying to take the place of relying upon God. Because you're not doing it by your strength. This is not about your strength. It's not about grit. This is about the grace of God. This is about you surrender to Him and allow Him to use you to affect your generation. For sure, God has called us for signs and wonders. I mean, that's just the truth. We've been called for signs and wonders. We've been called to do exploits for the kingdom. And yes, whenever we stand in the positions that we are called to, guess what we're doing? We are rising up and we are making, and together we are causing the overarching purpose of God to be fulfilled. And we are all causing in our own small worlds, in our own small ways, in our little corners of the earth, we are causing God's ultimate desire to be fulfilled in the earth. So, the next time you want to disqualify yourself because you think you do not have experience, remember, none of the people that God called have experience. Read about God's generals when you get time, and you realize most of them were just very ordinary people being called to do extraordinary work. They all started where you are. They were scared. They were apprehensive. They didn't know what to make of what God was calling them into. But then, there's one thing that characterizes each of them. They took the step. They looked beyond themselves. They did not make this about them. They made it about God. They took a step and another step. And God was blessing their obedience. And God was causing increase and multiplication to happen in their lives and in their ministries. The experience they got was years later. They didn't start with experience. They started in obedience. And even the experience which they might have garnered, it doesn't, you know, in God's kingdom, it's really never about, are you experienced to do this? It's about, are you obeying? Are you obedient? So look at it from that perspective. Look at it from the perspective of God is not looking for people that have experience. God is looking for people that are obedient. And number two, before I go, the second thing that makes us disqualify ourselves is because, number two, if you're going to write this, write it in bold. We make it about ourselves. We are always making it about us. It's always about, it's not convenient for me. It's always about, I do not have the gift for that. It's always about, this is not the right time for me. Me, me, me. Making it about me. Making it about you. When God is calling us into greater things, but then we stand in the way of God. And the message there is so simple. Get out of the way. Because really, that is the only way you're going to experience what God is doing. That's the only way you're going to walk in the greatness and you know, in the blessings that you've been called into. You need to get out of the way. You need to get out of the way. You need to get out of the way. Repeat after me. I need to get out of the way. I need to get out of the way. You need to get out of the way. You need to get out of the way. Let go. Let God. Don't allow your mind and your logic to stand in the ways of God. Just flow and let the Spirit of God lead you. How long are you going to stand on the periphery of your greatness? How long are you going to walk and to wade in the shores of your greatness when you're being called to swim and to dive into the deep? Selah. Selah basically means think about it. And so I'm going to leave you with that today. Consider the things that you know in your heart you've been called to do. Consider in your heart the reason you've been advancing, for why you cannot do what you know you ought to be doing. The number three, purpose, and make a decision to break all limitation, to get off your comfort zone and do absolutely everything that God is calling you into. Yes, so really glad and excited that you could join me. Again, this is Marianne. Thank you so much for tuning into today's podcast. May God bless you. May you keep soaring. May you break every limitation. And may you be everything that God called you to be. Bye-bye. God bless you. Love you. Jesus loves you more.